So we talked about Mary. We've talked about Joseph. And today we are going to look at the story of Jesus from the perspective of the wise men and the innkeeper. From the wise men and the innkeeper. Let's look in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. I'm going to kind of walk you through the story, breaking up periodically. Don't lose your place right there, because we're going to go down through the chapter. But the term wise men, it's really not something that we use anymore. These wise men were considered to be some type of astrologers, magicians. There was a kind of a mix of a seer. They were this kind of compilation. There was a lot of different ways that you could have looked at them or view them. And we don't know exactly where these wise men came from. We know that they came from the east, and they're some people that believe they came from Persia. Some people say they came from India. Some people say that they came from Babylonia. Some people say that they came from Yemen. You can find people that believe they came from everywhere. But we do know that they came because of God. We know that they made this journey to Bethlehem, or they made this journey to Israel to see God's son. And there are some connections there with Daniel. You can go back in Daniel chapter 9, and we can see some connections there. And there's also belief that they were connected to a character named Balaam. And then actually in Numbers 22 through 24, you can read the story of Balaam. But Balaam is kind of thought to be the ancestor of the seer, kind of the ancestor, the forefather, maybe the first of these kind of wise men, so to speak. And Balaam was hired by a foreign king to come and actually curse the people of God, to speak a curse over them. And so the king brings Balaam up to a high place, and as the people of Israel were walking by, he wanted him to speak a curse on them. But if you know the story, you know what happened. Whenever Balaam opened his mouth to speak a curse, all he could speak was a blessing. And as he was speaking that blessing, he also speaks prophetically about what was to come out of the people of Israel. And in Numbers 24, verse 17, Balaam says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." And so we see that these wise men, these followers of Balaam, these that came after, they have been looking for the star to arise. They have been looking for this ruler and this king to come out of Israel. And the Bible, as it goes on in verse 2, it says that these wise men show up and they begin to ask, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." They have been waiting for this moment. From the old prophecy, they have been waiting to see the star rise. They have been waiting for this promised king, this new ruler. They have been waiting for God to step out of heaven and come down to earth. They have been searching the skies for the sign, the star that would fulfill the prophecies, eagerly looking and waiting for this king to appear. You can imagine their excitement and also their expectation for others' excitement. If you have been far away and you've been waiting for this star, don't you think that they thought, "Oh man, all of Israel is going to know about this. All of the leaders are going to be so excited that this new king, this promised one, has come." And yet when they arrive on the scene, they don't find that at all. They find that their excitement is the only excitement. They find that their searching is the only searching. They find that their comrades, so to speak, were not nearly as thrilled about the news as they were. Have you ever been really excited about something and nobody else was excited about it? I mean, like that's a bummer all in itself right there. You are so fired up and you can't get one person to jump on your bandwagon with you. Well, these guys, man, they were so fired up about the star that they had seen, but nobody else was excited about it. Matter of fact, it says in verse 3 that King Herod was deeply disturbed. Not only was he not excited, he was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. King Herod not only was not excited, he was deeply troubled. In verse 4, it says, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Here's the amazing thing. The priests and the teachers had more information. They knew the place of the Messiah's birth, but they were not eagerly searching for him. They studied about God, but they were about to miss God. They had learned about the law, but they were going to miss God's fulfillment of the law on the earth. The wise men, they didn't have all of the information, but they had enough of the revelation to make a difference. They did not know all of the details, but they knew that they were supposed to be actively seeking for this promised king. So we have the teachers and the rulers. They had all of the information. They had all of the details. They had all of the scrolls. They had all of the prophecy. They had all of the promises. They knew what was to come, but they weren't looking for anything. But then we have these wise men who were eagerly searching for a star because they had just a piece of a revelation about what was actually going to happen. And they show up because they said, look, we know something is happening right now on the earth. We saw the star, and now we are here to find this new ruler. In verse 7, the Bible says, then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. And he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Verse 8. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. He said, search carefully. Search carefully, and when you find him. See, Herod here is even speaking a prophetic declaration over these wise men. He said, go and search carefully, and when you find him. He didn't say if you find him. He didn't say you might not find him. He said, go and search carefully, and when you find him. You see, the truth of the matter is when you search carefully, you will find him. When you seek after him, you will find him. And the word of God backs that up in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Says, but from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, that door will be open. You see, if you are willing to search carefully, you will always find God. Verse 9 says this, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, this star, there's also a lot of different debate about this star. But the interesting thing about the star is it was not just your ordinary star. This was a star that was guiding them. This was a star that was leading them. This was a star that was on the move. I don't know how that happened, but it was a star that led them from Jerusalem all the way to Bethlehem. And then when it got to Bethlehem, it stopped over the house, and they were all filled with joy because they knew that this star had led them to the place where they were supposed to go. You see, God guided them to his son. They wanted to find the son, and God guided them every step of the way to find what they were really looking for. It's amazing how God directs the steps of those who are genuinely seeking the truth. God helps those who are looking for healing and for wholeness. God assists those who are diligently trying to find the answers to their questions, peace for their strife, and purpose for their life. God always directs and guides those people who are seeking Him out. And here are these wise men. They have their first encounter. These guys have come from so far, and they have their first encounter. And as we talked a little bit last week, it's a little bit different because in most of your Christmas plays and everything, you see the wise men coming in, and it's just baby infant Jesus there in the manger. Jesus was not in the manger in this scenario anymore. And he wasn't just a baby anymore. He was actually a child now, and he was actually in a home when the wise men showed up. And whenever they walk in, and here is this baby boy, this toddler. And you know, I don't know what they expected to see. I don't know if they expected riches and royalty. I don't know what their expectation was when they showed up. But I can imagine as they walked into Joseph and Mary's home, the place that they were living, I'm sure that it probably wasn't everything that they anticipated. And then there was this little boy standing there, and yet these wise men knelt down, bowed down before him, and they began to worship this baby boy. You know, it's amazing how Jesus doesn't always look like we think he was going to look. Jesus doesn't always appear to us the way that we thought he was going to appear. But that was beside the point, because these wise men had determined that God had led them to this place, that this was the Son of God, this was the King, and they bowed down and they worshiped him, and then they gave these gifts. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were very nice gifts. These were very extravagant gifts. These were very expensive gifts to give, and they give these gifts to Jesus here. And we know the story, because then when the wise men leave, the angel shows up and he speaks to Joseph and he says, hey, Herod's coming to kill Jesus. You need to get out. You need to move to Egypt. And this is just my personal belief, but I believe that the gifts that these wise men brought actually saved Jesus's life. I believe that it's what Joseph and Mary used as they were moving across Egypt, as they packed up, because Joseph packed his bags immediately and began to travel. And you know, if you've ever traveled anywhere, you don't get to travel for free. There are expenses incurred along the way. And I believe that it was the gifts that they gave that actually allowed Jesus to move and Joseph and Mary to pack up and to go to Egypt. How instrumental. What an instrumental part these guys played. What if they would have never shown up? What if they would not have traveled what many believe to be months and months to get to Jesus? What if they would have never gone the distance? What would the story look like without these wise men? And it's interesting here in verse 12. It says, when it was time for them to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. We know why, because Herod really didn't want to see the truth. He didn't really want to meet God. Herod wanted to kill God. And so the wise men knew this, and so they went another direction. But there's a powerful truth that we can glean out of there, and that is that after you have an encounter with Almighty God, you can't go the same way you came in. You can't leave the same way that you walked in. When you have a real encounter with God, it will cause you to go in a different direction. It will cause you to move in a different direction. It will cause you to be something that you have never been before. When you have a divine encounter with God, it will change you. It will change the path of your life. It will change your course. It will impact you when you have a real divine encounter. And these wise men were no different. You see, these wise men, they weren't just waiting. These wise men were willing. They weren't just waiting for something to happen. They were actually willing to pack up and go. They weren't just waiting for the Messiah to appear. They were willing to be a part of the story. They weren't just waiting for somebody else to announce the news. They were willing to be a part of the story. They were willing to go all the way. They were willing to leave their comfort zone. They were willing to travel months and months. They were willing to face adversity. They were willing to go all the way to be a part of the story of Jesus. And here's the great thing. They weren't just anticipating. They were participating. They weren't just anticipating this king. They weren't just anticipating this new ruler. They weren't just anticipating God sending his son. No, they wanted to participate in the story. They wanted to see this king with their own eyes. They wanted to have their own worship experience. They wanted to participate in the greatest story ever told. These wise men, they weren't just stargazing. No, they were strategizing. They weren't just stargazing one day and seeing a star. No, these wise men, they were strategizing of how they could meet the king. They were strategizing of how they could be a part of God's story, how they could be a part of what God was doing in the earth. In Acts 17, I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. Paul is introducing the people of Athens to God. And in Acts 17, verse 24 in the Message translation, it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, this master of sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He is near. We live and move in him and can't get away from him." You see, God stepped down out of heaven because he wanted to be found. God stepped down out of heaven because he wanted to be found. Like the wise men, we can all find God if we're willing to search for him. Like the wise men, we can all find God if we're willing to seek after him. Like the wise men, if we are willing and ready to participate in the story, we can all find truth. We can all find God. And then there's this other character in the Bible. I feel sorry for this guy. I mean, the wise men, you know, these guys, they probably had some notoriety. I mean, they brought some nice gifts. They were the magi. You know, sometimes it's kind of turned that they were kings. They really weren't kings, but they probably served in a royal capacity. These guys all had their needs met, okay? They were not suffering. But there's this other guy in the story, this poor little innkeeper. I mean, this poor fella, he has turned Joseph and Mary away in thousands of Christmas plays all over the world. I mean, this poor innkeeper, he's mocked and despised year in and year out all over America. I feel so sorry for this guy because he's actually not even mentioned in the Bible. All that we know is there was an inn, and there was no room in that inn. There was no room in that place. But the poor innkeeper, he's not even mentioned. We don't even know his name, but yet you know if there is an inn, there is an innkeeper because somebody's making money, amen? All right, so we know that he existed, but he's not even mentioned, and yet we have our way with him every December. He has a place in church history. But most often that place is simply this, being misunderstood. The innkeeper is most often misunderstood. In Luke chapter 2, we read this part of Jesus' story, and it says in chapter 2, verse 4, "And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Let me tell you right up front, okay, there were no Holiday Inns in Bethlehem, okay? The way that we see hotels in the Western world, that did not exist in ancient times. There was not 170 rooms available for them in Bethlehem. That did not exist. Basically, there are two options here whenever we begin to study this. And the first option would be some type of guest quarters. That most of the time, if you were traveling, people had this for their relatives and things. It was basically a small extra room that was available. But let me just remind you now, in Bethlehem, this was the time of the census. So everybody was going back to their ancestral town. Everybody was coming back home to Bethlehem. This was not just a vacation that they got caught on and it was time for the baby to be born. No. Everybody is going back to their ancestral town. So you can imagine that Bethlehem was packed. There probably was not an empty guest quarter around. And even if it was, we know that Joseph and Mary, they were not very wealthy at all. And that would have cost a lot more money. That would have been much more expensive. So we can kind of take that and rule that option out, which leaves us with one more option, and it would be more of a campground. The campground was full. It was more of like an overnight rest stop as people were caravanning across the Middle East. And in several towns, they would have this rest stop. It would be a campground. It was a stone wall around the outside. And then everybody kind of came into the inside there. And you could throw up a little tent and you could live in this little campground. And you would pay your fee for however many people you had. And then you also got to put your animals up there in the barn or in the stable. And they would provide food and water for your animals. You probably got a hot meal that night or maybe a meal in the morning, and then you were back on your way. So that is probably where Joseph and Mary ended up. And here this innkeeper says, I'm sorry, but there's just no room. And maybe it's true. Maybe they couldn't fit another person in the campground, or maybe they just weren't willing to fit one in that was in labor, one that would disturb all of the other guests, one that might upset people around them. I don't know what it was. I don't know if they didn't have room, if they couldn't fit another person, or if that he wasn't just willing to put Mary in there to give birth in front of everybody. But this innkeeper did something that we don't give him credit for. He provided a place. He provided a place. He didn't kick them out on their own. He didn't say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go to the street corner. He said, I'm sorry, I don't have room for you here, but I do have a manger. I do have a place where we keep the animals, and it's away from here, and you will be able to have some privacy. It's not right here. I'm sorry, it's not in the comfort and the confines of the stone wall and the campground that we've set up, but it's just right up the hill here, and you can have your own place. You see, this place wasn't the most desirable location to give birth, but it was a space. And I am sure that the innkeeper wished that he could have done better, but he did all that he could. He simply gave God what he had. He gave God a place. Sure, the space wasn't pretty, and it didn't probably smell like potpourri or have fluffy pillows, but it was all that God needed to deliver hope into the world. The innkeeper teaches us a powerful lesson about God. You don't have to have the best place. You just have to give him a space. You might not be proud of what you have to offer, but what you have is enough for God to bring his hope into your life. And in Acts chapter 9, we see a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And we see as God knocks him down and begins to knock on the door of his heart. Saul didn't have anything to give. Saul was guilty. Saul was a persecutor of the church. Saul had actually killed Christians with his own hands. He was guilty, but Saul discovered the same thing that the innkeeper did. If you just give God what you have, God can do the rest. And God changed Saul's name to Paul. He went on to write two-thirds of the entire New Testament. He changed his destiny from a church destroyer to a church builder. And if you give God an open door, I've discovered that God will walk through it. And when God walks through the open door, he is the one that gives birth to hope and to change and to transformation in your life. You see, the story of Jesus throughout the ages has included not just the wise men that we read about, but it has included many more wise men figures, those who have desperately been seeking after a Savior, those who have gone against the social norms in order to pursue the peace with God, those who have been willing to search for the truth until they finally found it. And history has also been full of innkeepers, those who might not have even been searching for God, but God came searching for them. Those who might not have even known all the details of what was actually happening, but they made space for the Creator anyway. Those who were ashamed of the current state of their lives or the filth in their heart, but they invited God in no matter what. Those who were embarrassed that they hadn't done better in life, but yet they believed that God could give birth to new life anyway. You see, I believe this morning that the story of Jesus is continuing. And I believe today that in the story of Jesus, there are still those wise men. There are still wise men all over the world today who are seeking after the truth. They are seeking after help. They are seeking after a Savior. They are looking for a God who loves them. They are looking for purpose to fill their lives. They are looking for peace that passes all understanding. I believe today that there are people who are searching for the answers of life, and they might not be looking in all of the right places, but if they just keep on searching, they will find Jesus. They will find the truth. They will find Jehovah God. They will find the God that loves them and adores them. They will find the God that created them if they are searching diligently with all their heart. But I also believe in the world today there are innkeepers. People are just minding their own business. People who are just running their own lives. They're running their own families, and somehow God shows up at their inn. God shows up in their business. God shows up at their house. God walks into their family, and they don't even know the fullness of what's happening. They just know that something different is happening. They don't know all that they're feeling. They just know that they're feeling something different. They don't have all of the details, but they know that something must be changing in my life. And then when you figure out that, wow, it's God, that God wants to be a part of my life, that God wants to be a part of my story, that God wants to step into my situation, and you, like the innkeeper, say, well, I don't really have a proper place for God. I don't really have a place that I'm proud of for God to step into. I don't really have what I think God would really want. Oh, it's okay. Because when God came the first time, he came into a manger. And out of that manger, he brought salvation and hope to the entire world. All God needs is an open door. All God needs is what you have. No matter how smelly, how stinky, how stained, how messed up whatever you have to give him is, all God needs is just that. And out of that, God can give birth to everything that you need in your life. God can change your name. He can change your destiny. He can change your identity. All God needs is some wise men who were seeking after him. All God needs is some innkeepers that will just give him a little space. And if we can be like that, then we can have everything that God wants us to have in this life. Would you stand with me this morning? Just bow your heads just for a moment. Because this morning I believe there are some wise men in this room. I believe there are some innkeepers in this room. I believe that there are people here that are searching and saying there has to be something more to life. There has to be something more to church. There has to be something more to Christianity. There has to be something more to this life. There has to be something more. Surely I'm missing something. I believe that there's some wise men that are still searching. Searching for truth that changes you. Searching for a God who will love you unconditionally. Searching for real healing and wholeness. Searching for transformation. I believe there's some wise men searching for more. This morning you say, Pastor Philip, that's me. I'm searching right now. Searching for something greater. Searching for something more. I'm searching for something deeper. I'm searching for something more authentic. I'm searching for something more genuine. Maybe you've never searched for God before, but you say, ah, man, something has been happening in me recently and I'm searching for truth. Maybe this is your first time to ever be in church, or maybe you've been in church for a long time. You say this morning, I can identify with the wise man because I'm searching for something. If that's you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm not going to have you step out in the aisle. I'm not going to have you come down forward. This is just between you and God. You say, Pastor Philip, you're speaking to me this morning. I am that wise man, and I want to see Jesus. I want to see God in his fullness and his glory. I want to find what I'm looking for. If that's you, I'm speaking to you this morning. Will you just slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. How many of you this morning say, I can identify with this innkeeper? I feel just like he felt. I don't really know everything that God's wanting to do in my life. I don't even know all the details of what's happening, and I don't even really have a good spot to offer God. I feel so dirty. I feel so ashamed. I should be further along. I should have done better. I knew better, and I haven't done better. And yet this morning, you sense God just knocking on the door, saying, just let me in right there where you are. Right there where you are. You don't have it all together. You got a lot of struggles. You got a lot of bad things going on. You find yourself all kinds of difficulties, but you say, I can relate to that innkeeper. And simply because that innkeeper gave God a space, that small space brought Jesus into the world. And I'm willing today to give God a space, to give God a place in my life, to invite him in, because I really believe that he can bring hope into my world, that he can bring salvation into my world, that he can bring change into my world. And if I'm talking to you, you say, I relate to that innkeeper. And you say, I'm really ready to invite God into my space. I'm ready today to invite him in. If that's you, will you just lift your hand up? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we all just repeat this prayer in the sanctuary this morning? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. My heart is seeking you. I'm searching after you because I believe that you are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. And this morning, I'm making room for you. I'm opening the door of my heart, and I invite you in because I believe that you can give birth to hope, that you can give birth to new life, that I can be transformed by your way, by your love, by your power. In Jesus' name.